Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers. Cavs the Podcast. Nate Smith.
Able Genius.
Click and Tom Pestak back there with his clicky clacky.
The Rocket Leaguer himself.
Rocket League Tom Pestak.
My mechanical keyboard.
You might as well just call him James Harden. He's playing in the Rocket League so much. Yeah. So, Lib, we're about, 40 minutes after the victory here. I took a little while to get on. As EG said, I was.
Quote
I was,
unquote, fixing one's computer.
Yeah.
Because you were busy embracing your Jetty Osmond fathead for 20 minutes.
And that's not true. It was, I was rolling around in my first Jedi t shirt.
Oh, both things could be true.
That is true. EG says it's going to be worth something someday, but probably not after
it will be.
I wear it. So,
well, yeah. But if it was worn by Jetty, that might be still worth something. But yeah, probably not. Probably not with the ode to Nate Smith.
No one wants that. I do have some threadbare Cavalier T-shirts that. You know the super thin ones they sell at Old Navy?
Yeah.
I've got a couple of those that are just like hanging on by like, I don't even know how they're held together by cake deodorant. So
nice.
Yeah. So that was a hell of a game.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty impressive comeback when they really could have just packed it in and said, all right, we'll just go beat up on the 76ers tomorrow and not waste the energy, but LeBron wasn't having any of that.
No. And so, odd game. The Cavs outscore the Wizards 39-26 in the first quarter and then put up 43 in the next two quarters, the Cavs do, and end up down 17 in the middle of the fourth quarter and then come back to win by four. So it was kind of made no sense. As much of the rotations made no sense for a lot of the night.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the game, if you have LeBron James on your team, you have a better chance to win than the other team does usually.
Just slightly.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron was...
Well, the stat of the night really was, Dave McMenamin posted it after the game and I put it on the live thread. The Cavs were down 106-90 in the final 6 minutes on Thursday. Entering today, teams were 2-461 this season when trailing by 16 plus points in the final 6 minutes of the fourth quarter.
And who was the other one that won this year? Was that also the Cavs?
They didn't say, but I think one of them was the Warriors.
It feels like it could have been.
I think one was the Warriors, and I think one was the Rockets coming back on the Nets, maybe. Remember that game? They were down. I think they were down by like 20.
No, I don't remember. I've blocked out most of the regular season. I mean, it's been hard enough to follow the Cavs, let alone the entire NBA. So
yeah, this is what Washington does, man. Like Washington is not a mentally tough team. They never have been.
No.
Not in all the decades that they've played the Cavs.
Yeah, and Tom, take us through your favorite moment of the game, because I know you tweeted about it.
Oh, my gosh. I love watching John Wall hush the crowd. I knew at that moment that the Cavs were going to win. And so he comes down the next time, and you know, he hit an open like 15-footer against
over Kevin Love,
a sagging Kevin Love.
Well,
like,
it was decent job, defense,
like,
but
great job. And then
he was conceding he was feeling his oats after he hit that 15-footer.
He gets Jeff Green on him, and he throws up a knuckleball that was lucky to graze the front of the rim. And then on his last possession down, that was against LeBron. And then his last possession down, he's going against Jeff Green, and he can't use his left hand, so he wasn't comfortable going all the way to the basket. So he tries to turn around and jump pass because he's got the yips, and throws it right into the waiting arms of where Nate wishes he could have been with Chetty Osmond.
Ruffling Chetty's. Dark, feathery locks.
You know how the villains in cartoons, like, think of, I mean, my favorite cartoon growing up was Ninja Turtles, right? And it's a silly cartoon, right? But if you're a kid, if you're like 5 or 6, you're really into it. But the bad guys in Turtles always lose. Every episode, the Foot Clan gets it. Shredder loses. Bebop and Rocksteady slip on a banana peel. Every episode. And yet every episode, when they first, you know, are planning the demise of the Turtles, or when they first meet the Turtles, they talk smack. They try to flex on them. And yet it's like, guys, you know, we're 100 episodes in, and you're still flexing, and you lose every time. Like, that's in a, you know, that's like, the Wizards are a children's cartoon villain. They've been flexing on the Cavs for 2 decades, and they've never won anything. They weren't even winning anything when they were flexing on the Dion Waiters Cavaliers. And Brad Beal is talking about how they're the best backcourt in the NBA, or whatever the heck that whole. It's just,
yeah, I mean, Soulja Boy really is their spirit animal.
I'm so thankful for the Wizards. I'm thankful for John Wall. Who John Wall, you know, in a vacuum is a nice player, but I can't get over that every time they're about to play the Cavs, it's like a statement game for them. Like, he says something along those lines, or Brad Beal says something along those lines, like, we're going to make a statement. And now they got Markieff Morris, who's like the same way. It's like, guys, you've never won anything. And you get it handed to you by the Cavs every time they care enough to try, and yet you just keep on. I don't know. I feel like I'm watching Bebop and Rocksteady. It's just
it's so great. And so, I mean, there were so many things that had to go right for the Cavs to make that 17-point comeback. And let's be honest, LeBron probably assisted. I didn't go through the stats, but LeBron, I'm pretty sure, scored on probably 15 of the 20 points that they had, and assisted on at least 2 others, and made passes that led to baskets for everybody else. And it was
that Korver 3 in the corner that he found, he was just so wide open.
Yeah, but the other part of it is Mike Scott missed a point-blank layup. Markieff Morris missed a point-blank alley-oop that was off, you know, maybe the pass is an inch easier to catch, or, you know, Markieff Morris is an inch more athletic and it goes in.
It's like Tom said, man. Yeah. The Wizards crumble. They just make bad mistakes. They're not a mentally tough team. They never have been. They never will be.
Yeah. I mean, Porter makes a terrible pass. Chetty Osmond makes a fantastic steal. I mean, just the best part of that steal is Chetty Osmond. So Wall's driving to his left, like Tom said. Chetty Osmond's digging down on him. And then when Wall turns, he retreats and goes exactly out to Beal because he knows exactly where he is and steals that ball. It was such a great read. And then just takes off. And the best was, so they're all like, Chetty Osmond, only a 57% free throw shooter. And then he just bricks the first one, and it goes straight up in the air and goes straight
the force.
In. And you can see all the Wizards were just like, damn it. And they knew it was over then. And it was like, that was such a good game.
He was. I mean, look, and for all the things that Ty Lue does wrong, at the very least, he's figured out that he needs to have Jetty in there for defensive purposes
games. Out Kevin Love at the end, because basically what Washington was doing was wherever Kevin Love was, that's where they were attacking. I mean, Markieff Morris burned him for a bucket. As Tom said, John Wall got him in isolation and scored that 15-foot grandpa basket over him. So,
well, they did. Somebody pointed this out. They did kind of go small, and so that was making it so that the only way they were going to be effective with Love was to get him down in the post and have him bang, and that just wasn't happening. So,
yeah.
You know, I think when Kev doesn't get a few shots, he it's harder for him to be in the flow of the game. So, you know, kind of expected.
Yeah, and let's talk about what a monster game Rodney Hood had. You know, Rodney Hood, 11 points plus 21 on the game.
Well, he woke up, man. I mean, he didn't do much in the first half, and then, man, he just really
the second
he just
half,
really kind of went at it. Yeah,
I mean, he two or three times let LeBron basically clear the lane on a drive, or let the entire defense key on LeBron, and then he just took it right up the left side of the key for a layup, and then got to the line and made his free throws too, 5 of 7 on the night, plus 21. Led the team, two big steals, had some really nice plays on both ends of the court. So, and then, like you were saying, that Korver basket was such a great play because LeBron, they overplayed LeBron outside and LeBron cut behind. So he did the back cut and Hood fed him perfect. And then LeBron stopped at the free throw line. Everybody collapsed him and he found Korver in the corner. And unlike the 2017 finals, Kyle Korver hit that left corner three, and that was, as big as any shot in the last 5 minutes. So,
yeah,
fantastic game. And it was funny because the first quarter was all Cavs, and the next two, there was a lot of hand-wringing on the blog about some of the goofy rotations that Ty Lue was playing. And
not by me.
Oh, I am not going to tell you that I was thrilled by the Nance, Tristan Thompson, Jeff Green lineup.
Oh, you're going to love Lou's quote after the game then, because it just got posted, because I couldn't find it anywhere, the after the game
interview,
interviews or whatever. But apparently, Ty Lue said, this is his quote. He says, "I'll have to pick between Larry Nance Jr. and Tristan Thompson moving forward, but we haven't figured it out yet." Hopefully, that's just him sparing Tristan's feelings. But man, if he goes the other way, then realistically, someone ought to club him over the head so he misses a few more games.
I mean, oh my lord, that might be the quote of the year.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. So I all have to, because there was not, as we would have noticed, a lot of floor spacing in that lineup.
I mean, look, Larry didn't have his best night. He did grab some rebounds, but he was constantly, I felt like, not boxing out well.
No, but and oh man, my God, how many rebounds?
Tristan was just a zero out there, man. Like Tristan was literally all across the board. It's 10 minutes. 0000000000.
He played
one personal foul.
Had one
minus
foul.
Nine. That 0 points. Zeros.
How
just
many offensive rebounds did Marcin Gortat get that just bounced straight to him because nobody was between him and the basket defensively?
Yeah.
Like, well,
I mean,
he only had three.
But. Still, like, it was just weird.
It seemed like more than that, though. Like, he
could have been better served by just having a large traffic cone out there instead of Tristan.
They could have played Chetty Osmond at center, and it would have worked out better.
Seriously,
Chetty.
As long as
there
was
nice
a
game.
Large traffic cone and not a small traffic cone, like
right?
Isaiah
not to
Thomas.
Be confused with Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, No, yeah. He's a very large, he's a traffic pylon, if you will.
So it sounds like TT was a member of Club Trillion tonight.
What's Club Trillion?
Do you remember Mark Titus, that guy that played on Ohio State, but he never played? So he would log like 1 minute and he would have all zeros. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Tristan did that in 10 minutes.
Okay, so he's Club 10 Trillion.
10 Trillion.
Exactly. Chetty with another really nice game. Hit those two huge threes in the third quarter. Kind of kept the game within reach. And one of them was kind of a heat, like kind of a gunslinger's bucket, the second one, which I was really
happy. Well, yeah, he kind of went for it, then had to regather, and then went for it again, and it just went through.
The other thing that Chetty does at the point guard spot, because he did kind of start at the point guard spot, although LeBron got most of the ball handling duties, is Chetty just makes the easy pass. And I feel like Jordan Clarkson never makes the easy pass. Like, Chetty just makes the easy swing pass all the time, and he slung it to LeBron James at the top of the key, and he slung it to Kevin Love, who was gunslinging in the first half. I mean, four threes in the first half. And then, like, Jordan Clarkson, when he was in the third quarter, kind of the lone ball handler out there, it was a disaster. I mean, he was just turning it
over. He's not a point guard. He's not a point guard. Yeah.
No, I know. And the best, you know, I said it early in the game, Jordan Clarkson is at his best in the, I want to say the Richard Jefferson role, where you sling it out to him on the wing or in the corner, and he can either shoot it or put it on the floor and get to the basket. Like, that's when he's at his best. And when
he's super athletic, though. I mean, look, he had a bad second half.
He did.
For sure. And, well, the second quarter wasn't great either. But he did have that nice steal and the 360 dunk, which was fun and entertaining. And, you know, he wasn't abjectly horrible, but it wasn't as one of his better shooting nights for sure.
Yeah. And, and kind of going down the lineup, then you had, you know, Kevin Love, great first half, kind of disappeared in the second half. And then Jeff Green, who is a maddening player because you put out in all caps on the live thread when he finally got that rebound in crunch time, and it was his only rebound in the game in almost 32 minutes.
That was a big rebound, though.
Huge.
And then
if he doesn't get that ball, the Wizards had a run out dunk on the other end.
Yeah, yep. and
a 1 point lead.
Yeah, and the Scott Brooks cam, you know.
Yeah, where he collapsed on the scorer's table.
Like, all the whole Cavs run, they just had the camera on him just to capture his facial expressions. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was.
I feel bad for that guy.
Scott Brooks?
Dude, yeah.
He's gotten paid millions to not do anything.
Okay.
Not win anything ever.
Another this guy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
We'll talk about all the president's wounded men later.
Yeah. Well played, EG.
Yeah. But, I mean, and then, of course, LeBron James, who, you know, in crunch time, just as you have noted in years past, Tom, LeBron is unstoppable when he puts his head down and just decides he wants to get to the basket. And that's what he did at the end of that game. And just in transition, in the half court, in whatever situation, he was going to the basket, and he was either getting fouled, kicking it out, or, you know, getting a layup. And he was phenomenal. 33 points, 14 assists. I mean, The great assist, I thought, was the one where everybody expected him to drive, and then Jeff Green went backdoor and just dunked it on him. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You could just see Scott Brooks' heart fall out of his chest because he knew. Yeah.
Well, and you could see after that Korver three, you know, when anytime a guy in the Cavs hits a three after a great LeBron feed like that, the defense gets skittish and they don't want to, like, double LeBron, and they don't want to leave shooters. And so then the next time he's coming down, I think it was Markieff Morris is just trying to pick him up, and he's got a little bit of a head of steam, and he just, you know, blows right by him. He probably should have finished. Or maybe it was Beal. I think it was Beal. But, you know, he got to the free throw line. So, and that's the thing. Like, LeBron, you know, has always been unstoppable per se, but sagging way off of him was an Achilles heel at times. That's something the Spurs used on him. But now that he's got a reliable jump shot and he's got all this, you know, like late MJ Kobe footwork to add to his game.
Yeah.
And he, you know, pulls off these spin moves anytime you try to cut him off now, he just immediately spins on you and he makes it look easy. So,
he had some filthy spin moves tonight.
Yeah.
Barbecue chicken.
I mean, that's right.
I don't think people realize, like, what we have in store. I think playoff LeBron is going to go absolutely insane this year.
Yeah, I got to read you a fantastic Kevin Hetrick tweet.
I think it's his birthday.
Is it?
I think tomorrow's his birthday. It's showing up on my like MacBook calendar. I have no idea why.
Your MacBook calendar. I love it.
Yeah. I have no idea why, but I've just been noticing, like, oh, Kevin
Hetrick. No playoff Celtics or playoff 76ers. Those are teams of young guys that don't know any better than to go 100% in the regular season. The Cavs have 3 more gears to shift into, and that's mainly because LeBron has 12 more gears.
Yeah. No, that's a great quote.
I mean, it is, and it's so true. And we've seen, like, this extra gear that the Cavs have, and you saw it at the end of the night, and you saw it last game. I'm trying to remember who'd they play last game.
Oh, not Toronto. Yeah, Toronto.
You saw it with Toronto. These teams just get surprised that the Cavs have these 2 or 3 extra gears, and it's like
I don't know how they possibly could be though. They've each gotten like swept out of the playoffs the last few years by LeBron, right?
But I just that's think why they're bad.
I think maybe it takes a level of lack of self-awareness to be maybe a pro. I can't explain.
Oh, it does. It totally does.
I can't explain why like all these teams are the embodiment of like Swaggy P turning around and holding his arms out while his 3 clanks off the side of the hoop. But that is the Wizards literally the last 22 years.
Yeah.
And they
I was going to say, here you go, Nate, Fred McLeod, courtesy of Fred McLeod. LeBron scored or assisted on 23 of the final 32 points over the last 7 minutes and 23 seconds with 4 dimes and 0 That's turnovers insane. To go with his 13 points.
That's insane. And they just looked absolutely lost. I mean, Kelly Oubre was fronting like a madman.
Dude, Kelly Oubre's a punk.
I know, but
their whole team is a punk.
I do love how hard Kelly Oubre plays, and I love his defense, but yeah. And I feel like that guy is going to be a problem in the future. He's only in his second year, and he plays really hard, but...
Third year. He'd be a senior at Kansas this year.
Okay, yeah, you're right. He's in his third year. So... Yeah, I mean...
But whatever.
Yeah, I like Kelly Oubre, but yeah, it's like you said... That there is only LeBron is like few other ever. I mean, you got Jordan, you got Tiger Woods. Other teams just start hearing footsteps, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like the reputation of LeBron is as you know terrifying as LeBron himself. The only thing more terrifying is LeBron himself to opposing teams.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it's funny they were showing the. Game 5 of the 2007 ECFs against the Pistons tonight on Hardwood Classics.
Oh.
I'm like, I just gotta record it just to go back and rewatch it again. But it's what he does. I mean, it's how he takes over games. I mean,
yeah, I mean that to me is the single greatest playoff game performance I ever saw.
Ever.
Yeah. By one player. I mean, I've seen teams, you know, as you know. A group make efforts like that, but I've never seen one guy just put his whole team on his back like that for, what, a whole fourth quarter and an overtime, basically, right?
Two overtimes. Yeah. And
that's insane.
And against a really good defense.
Yeah.
on the road.
One of the best.
Yeah, one of the best defenses ever, really.
So, I mean, kind of the takeaway from this game, yeah, the Wizards out-rebounded them. Yeah, you know, Otto
Porter. Bad system.
Yeah. Bradley Beal had a good game. Marcus Morris had a good game. John Wall had 28 and 14 and also minus 12. And are you scared of the Wizards at all?
Not even slightly.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, should the Ninja Turtles be afraid of Bebop? I mean,
come on. How many times has Shredder monologued his whole plan and the Turtles have stopped him?
No, that's literally what we're dealing with.
Yeah. It's not going to matter. They're never going to come anywhere close to the Cat. I mean, this Wizards team won't beat even a depleted Celtics team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I am most scared of Indiana. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, that's why we gotta fight like hell to stay out of the fourth spot.
Yeah,
I
would agree with you.
That's the team that I think could make the Cavs sweat.
I mean, I feel like Indiana is a team. I don't want to see them in the fourth spot, and I feel like Indiana is a team that could take down Philly in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana is Team YOLO this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, I mean, talk about a guy who has improved his stock. I mean, Victor Oladipo has actually made that Kevin Durant trade or the Paul George trade look like a good trade, like a great trade for him.
I mean, totally.
So good for them, man. And then let's go around the league and, you know, Houston beat Portland.
Wait, do we finish this game?
Yeah, I feel like we have.
And, okay.
I mean,
there are a lot of things that happened in this game, but that's all right.
There was
a lot
of things that happened. I mean, break them down there, EG.
Well, the thing we talk about is that this was Tyronn Lue's game back after being gone for 9 games, where the Cavs went 8-1, and you know this was very nearly a loss, but wasn't. You know, it's interesting there was a lot of sort of. I certainly was among the people that didn't like the Jeff Green over Larry Nance conversation, but look. When Jeff Green plays like this, plays within himself, I mean, he only took three threes and made 2 of them. He was perfect at the line. He was 8 of 10 from the floor. You know, he only had the 1 rebound, but it was important. And he plays generally pretty good defense. So,
well, the other thing that he does, along with, you know, starting Chetty Osman, they're starting 5 guys that are 6'7" or taller, and they can switch everything.
Sure.
You know, and the weak link defensively, at least on a one-on-one basis, is Kevin Love at that point.
Right. And that won't last. I mean, they'll start.
But they still
Hill
need
or,
him out there for rebounding, too. So.
Yeah. No, Love is definitely the only guy typically that's rebounding besides LeBron. So. Because God knows Tristan Thompson's not going to do it anymore.
And Jeff Green, it's a miracle when he gets a rebound.
Yeah, so. But I was impressed that like Korver came back strong.
Oh, Korver, you know, had a very nice game.
I mean, he looked really good with his shot, you know. But really, I mean, the kind of the deathly part of the game was when Tristan and JR were in there, and then throw that in with Clarkson's sort of not very good game, and Larry Nance Jr., who was getting rebounds but not necessarily playing great defense. And
well,
you know,
I feel for Larry because they've really – I feel like they've really jerked Larry around this year.
They have, and he's probably still, you know – I mean, at least he had the 10 rebounds tonight, so he's probably still coming back from the hamstring tightness. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. They've jerked him around, and they haven't really given him a good – and they haven't really given him a huge vote of confidence either. And
right, I think exactly.
The injury kind of derailed all the good vibes that were happening about being, you know, Larry Nance's kid and – wearing number 22 and throwing down some big dunks and things like that. But I still think he's going to give you better spacing in the starting lineup. But look, if Jeff Green can continue to hit threes like that, I guess they'll just go small and, you know, and hopefully Nance will get the minutes off the bench and not Tristan, because if you give him to Tristan, they're going to be sorry really quickly.
Tristan 10 trillion Thompson, we're going to start calling him quadruple T.
Yeah.
I really like Jeff Green's defense at the end.
Yeah, I mean, he had some great plays.
He's big and strong, yeah. But he's got the foot speed to stay with the, you know, the fastest kind of guys in the league. I don't know that he's, you know, I think he always seems like he's a little out of position, but
he's also guy that has the speed and elevation to recover if he is out of position. Which not
no, I didn't mean out of position on defense.
Oh, what did you mean, Tom?
They have him at the two.
You're fading in and out. On
I just explained. I just explained what I meant.
Yeah, you fit. We missed all.
I didn't mean he's out of position like he's being a bonehead. I meant like the Cavs are playing him at the five or something. Like they're playing him not in a good position for him.
Well, he seems like a guy that doesn't really have a position. Like,
well, that's part of it. But
I mean, he's a tweener, and the Cavs have kind of embraced that. You know, he's an
just
old...
watched.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just watching. Just posted the final 2 minutes of Cavs Wizards game as told by Scott Brooks reactions.
or basically, it's hilarious. Who do I always say is playing Scott Brooks in the movie? The guy that played
Dana Carvey?
No, the guy that played the dad in Trainwreck. Colin Quinn.
Oh.
I always feel like he would play Scott Brooks in the movie.
Scott Brooks.
Yeah, I'm changing.
I do feel a little bit bad for this guy.
My moment of zen over the weekend, we're driving back from my cousin's in Lansing, and what do I see but this giant sign that says Dick Scott Auto Body Repair. And I was like fumbling to get my phone out before we drove by it.
Yes. Oh, did you get it?
No, I didn't. I was so mad. I almost told Chris to turn around and go back.
11 championship.
And now she's like self-conscious about it now too. Cuz she saw it and she was just cringing.
Now wait, where did you say you were?
Driving back from Lansing, Michigan.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, there's a it's probably somewhere around near the Ann Arbor area. So,
okay.
Between Jackson and Ann Arbor. So yeah. So yeah, it was fun.
What were the rotations that bugged you? Because the only one that really bugged me was the fact that for some reason Ty Lue decided not to, and because Larry Drew seemed like he was doing this more as he went along those nine games, which is staggering LeBron and Kevin a little bit more,
yeah.
So that one of the Mazzaris always on the floor with the second unit guys or the whatever, just so that there's somebody who can be a scorer out there.
Yeah, I just thought that Nance, Tristan Thompson, Jeff Green, Jordan Clarkson and J.R. Smith lineup was just an abject disaster. Like, yeah. I felt like they got away with it in the first half, and then in the second half, it was painful because there was just no offensive coherence. You know, Jordan Clarkson, nobody seemed to know where they were supposed to be. I mean, one of the things you got to give Larry Nance a hard time, he hasn't played power forward for the Cavs all year. And then he was coming in and playing power forward with Tristan Thompson at the center. So it's hard to fault him too much for not knowing where the hell he's supposed to be on the court.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
You know, and I thought just that was kind of a mess. And, I just felt like they could have distributed the minutes among the wings a little better. And like Ty Lue said after the game, Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson, he's going to have to pick one, and the one he should pick is Larry Nance. So, you know, and
the non $10 trillion dollar man.
And then, you know, 15 minutes for Chetty Osman seemed a little low, especially because I thought Chetty was playing really well, but.
Well, he probably earned himself a few more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure LeBron loved that steal at the end. So, I mean, the whole
thing. He had two free throws, too.
Well, that first one was a brick that went in, but yeah.
Plinko.
I mean, it was so great because everybody, you could see all the Wizards.
Marky Morris got like excited and then it went in. That's the Wizards, though. That's Bebop and Rocksteady. I mean, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course they were frightening before the ball actually came off the hoop. Of course they were. Yeah. That's what they do.
And then, I mean, you remember last year, the greatest end of a regular season game last year was against the Wizards when,
off the back, going to OT, and then the Kevin won.
Yeah, Kevin threw it the length of the floor.
Yep.
LeBron falling out of the bounds from the right wing.
Off one leg.
Throws it in off the bank. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I mean, I'm sorry. The Wizards are a joke. All the talent they've had over the years, and they just, like, they can never back up their mouth ever.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of chances, you know?
Yeah, well,
and through many different regimes.
Yeah, and we've kind of talked about, I mean, EG and I went in depth. I think the Wizards would be better off moving on from John Wall, but they won't do that. I mean, they seem like they were a better team when John Wall was gone.
They were.
Yeah. So.
I mean, they objectively were. So that seemed like they just were.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if they could get a younger version of a Jose Calderon style point guard, they would be a much better. And that's kind of who Satoransky is, but he still has some limitations in his game. But yeah, I mean, they seem like.
Plus, his name is Satoransky.
Yeah. He's the guy that all. They're the team that always fronts too early. So.
Yeah. There's no great point guards ever named Satoransky.
Yeah. His name ain't Dick Scott, that's for sure.
That's why Dinwiddie will never be great. He'll be good.
There's too many syllables, huh?
Dinwiddie.
EG, the other day when you posted all those names, I seriously, I had to shut the door because I was just dying reading that.
I missed this one.
Well, Corey, I think, asked, like, who is that former Cav, you know, the one with the porn star nickname, or the porn star name?
And then the answer is CJ Miles, but yeah.
Right, which somebody wrote, like, almost instantly, and then I went through like, a whole list of every Cav ever and said, well, there's been a lot of good names.
Smart of
names. I mean, probably the greatest is John Hot Rod Williams. So.
Well, I don't know. Lucius Harris.
Oh, yeah, pretty Lucius good. Harris.
Yeah.
There's some good ones.
They have had some good ones.
All right. Well, lots happened around the league today, too.
Yeah.
So I guess we should move on and talk about that.
So Milwaukee dropped a game to the Nets, of course. So.
Because why wouldn't they?
Well, yeah. Well, now.
Now that they can't really get out of the eighth place or out of the eighth spot, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they certainly could. They could.
Drop. Right, because the Wizards, yeah.
Yeah, they could drop to the Wizards. I think they're tied right now.
Yeah, and they could be. Well, a lot of people are saying that teams want the seventh spot now because they want to play the Irvingless.
But I don't think they want the eighth spot, do they?
No, nobody wants the eighth spot. So, yeah, I don't quite get that myself, but I mean, honestly, I'd rather play Milwaukee than Miami in the first round.
Right.
Just because
it's kind of weird to say that, but yeah.
Well, LeBron gets weird against Miami, but I feel like it's only a regular season thing, not a postseason thing.
Yeah.
Look, Giannis is never going to be taken seriously as a legit MVP candidate until he can actually elevate his team, and he hasn't been doing that. Right.
Well, and it's a poorly constructed team. I mean, you look at them every year.
Is it, though? Like, they've got so much talent on paper. On paper, they have a ton of talent.
Yeah, the problem with Bledsoe, though, is he's not a good enough shooter that you're not just going to pack the paint against that team.
But he shouldn't have to be. Like, he's a good point guard. He's a good passing point guard. And he plays good defense, typically.
Right, but they don't have enough shooting on that team.
Middleton's been great this year shooting the ball.
But, I mean, you and I have talked about, and then, of course, they've got the Cavs killer, Tony Snell.
Oh no, not Tony Snell.
He was terrible the last time they played yeah. him.
Or Cavs. And speaking of Cavs killers, is it me or is Mike Scott always kill the Cavs?
Mike Scott's just that weird, like super burly dude that yeah. can shoot threes.
Of course, which is until, like not until that many. He blew that point blank layup.
You know who the anti Cav killers are, don't you?
Who's that?
Ben Worth boy.
Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, and John Wall.
Well, Dennis Schroeder's one of the worst players in the league this year.
And Al Horford.
Almost
Al
Horford. Al Horford.
He is the quintessential anti Cav killer. Yes.
So yeah. Did you guys see my tweet that I did today under the guise of Cavs the blog? Because Hardwood Paroxysm said something about like how good the Celtics are going to be, and they were talking about Al Horford still in his prime.
Oh yeah. Like,
when did Al Horford's prime start, and when is that stopping? Because I don't know if that is a perceptible.
Yeah, you'd have to look long and hard until you found Anna Horford's Twitter account before you found somebody who agreed that Al Horford was in his prime.
Yeah, I mean it was Al Horford basically in the middle of a sign and retire contract at this point.
He's actually been good for them this year, but to what end?
I mean, he's always good in the regular season.
Yeah, and yeah. He's also a guy that gives you a lot of stuff that 20 other guys could give you that are making half as much money.
Right.
You know, he's not a guy that is ever going to put you on his back and, you know, score 30 points for you when you need 30 points. You know?
Yeah. So are we going to talk about the elephant in the room then?
The Kyrie's knee?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go to town.
No, I'm just asking.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we've gotten to the Celtics awfully quickly, so I figure, okay, well.
Yeah, I mean.
So how shocked were you guys that you heard that you saw that news today? The Woj bomb, the Woj Moab, as you called it, Nate.
Yeah, that was my acronym of the day. I was absolutely shocked. And then when you hear about it, it's because he had a surgical site infection. So he basically has to, I think, what did I read? They took all the metal out and they're replacing
it. They have to take three or four screws in there that he had to get taken out because that's where
wire,
the infection.
Yeah.
It's unclear, though, whether the infection was in there before or if it was because of the – logic would say that I'm supposing here, but that they went in to take the wire out. Found the infection and were like, hey, dude, this is only going to get worse. What do you want? And Kyrie, being the hypochondriac that he and his dad are, I'm sure said, you know, it's not worth it. Take it out. And
be
healthy for next year.
Surgical site infections, especially when you have implants, are bad.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, potentially very bad. So, you know,
You don't want to lose a limb, that's for sure.
Well, and especially as much as the guy has annoyed me over the years and also brought me great joy, I don't want to ever see anybody have stuff like that happen to him. I mean, I'm not wishing him ill will. I don't want him. I want to have him to have every bit of his basketball faculties when the Cavs beat them. So. You know,
well, it ain't gonna happen this year.
No, it's.
I don't
not
know how you like Deadspin, Nate.
Why is that? Deadspin.
No, because you're not a total jerk. I just don't get how you like Deadspin.
I am a total.
Where did that come from?
No, I'm just Deadspin, listening to Nate. Like
the article of the year on Sinclair Media.
I don't wish ill on like my rival. You know, like I it's like yeah, that's good of you, Nate, because you're a good dude.
I am a good dude, but it's usually after much reflection and in my quiet moments.
Sometimes the browbeating.
Not when I'm screaming at somebody on the basketball court or, you know, while watching a basketball game or talking about how you have to leave a bruise when you foul somebody or else it's not a real foul, you know.
Channeling your inner Austin Carr.
Huh?
Channeling your inner AC.
Channeling my inner AC. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm one of those guys that's a monster on the field and a teddy bear at home, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm a regular Dick Butkus.
Or not Dick Scott.
Dick Scott.
I'm a regular Dick Scott, yeah. No, I...
No, you don't have the killer instinct of Dick Scott. He has 11 championships.
That's right.
Anyways,
And several New Kids on the Block records to his credit, so...
There you go. I mean, look, I it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean...
What do you mean it doesn't surprise you that he's got a gimpy...
Kyrie's always aired on that he wasn't going to come back from this.
Yeah.
No, that he wasn't going to come back from... Like the they wouldn't just stop with the... Like, said, oh, he's going to have minor knee surgery, a minor knee procedure to have this tension wire removed, and he'll be back in, like, 3 or 4 weeks. Like,
well,
I don't think
so. Not only that, a wire in your knee? That doesn't sound good. Like, that doesn't sound minor at all. You're not freaking Pinocchio.
Yeah.
I was like, that just sounds terrible to begin with.
He goes through screens like Pinocchio.
Well, it's funny, though. Like, somebody, I think I read this today, so I don't want to, I'm stealing it, but I don't want to take credit for it. In that, Kyrie says, if you don't trade me, I'll get surgery and sit out for the year.
Yeah.
But I'll still do that even if you do.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, and then the insane thing is it's like somehow it seems suddenly the Cavs are out ahead in this trade, which is kind of nuts.
For
the moment, yeah. I mean, it's
but think about it. Make all things equal. Let's say the summer either never happened, or that Kyrie was upset, but they patched things up, or they just said, we're not trading you, and he reported and said, well, fine, I'm gonna get the surgery. They're still would have been left with a roster with Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade and Iman Shumpert. And these are maybe guys they could have gotten rid of anyways, but not to the degree that they did, right? I mean, the way that they – because they wouldn't have been able to move – didn't have the Nets pick, right?
Exactly.
So they wouldn't have been able to – I mean, maybe they still could have swung the deal and taken on salary for George Hill at a certain point, knowing that they needed a point guard. But you're still sort of like left with a roster that's not quite as – dynamic as the one that you have now, with the choices that you can make with different an assortment of wings and an assortment of athletic bigs that you can kind of rotate in and out. So, you know, it's not perfect, but at least, I mean, look, the Kobe Altman in the game of musical chairs dodged being, you know, getting beaten by the injured point guards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll totally agree with you. And I like the Cavs' future right now, you know, with LeBron or without LeBron. They have a lot of players.
Let's not get crazy.
Well,
I like it with LeBron.
I like it with LeBron, too, but I also feel like they're not going to be abjectly horrible to watch LeBron isn't here. So.
Yeah, they will.
Okay.
That's where I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay. Well, hopefully we never have to find out. So,
well, and you look at it, I mean, the truth is, it's like, if you don't replace LeBron with another really kind of top 10 guy, Tom's not wrong. You're going to wind up watching something between what the Hornets are and what the Wizards are. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you're a 7-8 seed. Maybe you're on the top end of the lottery.
Well, it's Cleveland.
But
Nate, seriously, like, biggest knock right now.
Boy, you guys are fading in and out a lot.
Is that better? The biggest knock on the Cavs right now, going into the playoffs, is that they don't have anybody else to create besides LeBron James. If you take LeBron James away, you have nobody who can create for that team that you're talking about next year. Even if they got DeAndre Ayton,
you've got Trae Young.
No, you you don't even like Trae Young.
Yeah, you're just trolling.
I am. I'm just trolling. I just have endless optimism.
Of course. And look, the truth is, if he did decide to leave, which I really sincerely don't think he will at this point.
Yeah.
Then the chances of them, I mean, look, they would probably find a way to trade Kevin Love for some more assets.
And Kyle Korver and yeah.
Sure. By the way, they'd probably trade Kyle Korver to whatever team LeBron decides to go to.
Probably, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, LeBron can certainly write his own ticket, and of course, you know, Chris Sheridan came out today with his article that he teased for 2 days, and his number one reason LeBron is not going to re-sign with Cleveland is because Dan Gilbert is a huge Trump supporter, and LeBron hates Trump, which Chris Sheridan's been saying for 6 months. So
right,
and I think it was Whitney had the your boy Whitney Tom had the quote of Twitter with it said, "Okay, so where's LeBron going to play? Europe?" Because how many NBA owners do you think didn't vote to get their, you know, taxes reduced by 10-15%, you know, this season?
Mark Cuban did it, right? But then Mark Cuban might be out of the league next year on sexual harassment charges, so.
Right, and I love that line about Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, I believe, one of the main investors in Girls Gone Wild?
I don't know about that. But yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
Allegedly.
But yeah, I'm saying, like, Chris Sheridan can say all he wants to. But
I mean, no.
You guys ever watch Shark Tank? Mark Cuban gives, you know, googly eyes to every pretty girl that goes on that show.
Yeah,
and my wife's been calling him a creep for years. She loves Shark Tank.
Well, and like, if you've read any of the stuff around the Dallas Mavericks sexual harassment allegations, it sounds like it was a pretty toxic culture.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not in terms of the team, but certainly in terms of the corporate offices and especially the sales offices. So I certainly hope they get that situation straightened out. And, you know, I think, as you are alluding to, Tom, Mark Cuban's righteousness is certainly being called into question, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I am wary of anybody, you know, who kind of carries around a holier-than-thou attitude, so.
Yeah.
That must be why you like Deadspin.
Just because they're always taking people down a notch.
Deadspin had one of the worst articles of the year in the last 2 weeks, where they basically compiled all the Sinclair Media talking heads into one video. So eat that, Pestak.
I don't know what Sinclair Media is, but
it's all the conservative local affiliates that were forced to read this talking point about fake news, and, you know, Deadspin like combined like 60 plus of them into one video where they're all talking at once, and they all sound like the Stepford Wives. So it was pretty phenomenal. If you watched John Oliver on This Week Tonight, you'd know about it. So or last week. Yeah,
I don't watch Holier Than Thou Douchebags, so no, I did not watch John Oliver this weekend.
Wow.
I love trolling you, Pestak. It's the best.
So, right now, the Cavs would play the Miami Heat. Does that instill fear into the hearts of any of those on this podcast?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Nope, because Deion Waiters is still out.
That's true. That's
but true. Kelly Olynyk is like prime Kelly Olynyk right now.
Yeah.
Kelly Olynyk like just earned some kind of like bonus on his contract.
Yeah, two bonuses. Yeah.
Does he get a bonus for how many shoulders he yanks out of their socket?
No, I think he gets a bonus for how many games he plays with the man bun.
Yeah, and he got a bonus.
Oh, okay, he got a bonus for that.
He got a bonus because they made the playoffs, and he got a minutes bonus. So, Kelly Olynyk, who is currently being considered the king of the high handoff, when they run that high handoff offense, he's supposedly the master at it. So, of
I can't see Kelly. I can't see Kelly Olynyk at South Beach, just out the clubs, rocking his man bun and his gigantic teeth.
Yeah,
that guy weird in life.
Bringing up Deadspin on his cell phone.
Seriously, he's probably got several medallions.
He probably does read Deadspin.
He probably has a medallion collection. You're probably right.
That'd be a Kelly Olynyk move,
along with a unicorn collection.
Yeah, and probably a big maple leaf tattoo.
For sure. 100%.
The pride of Toronto. Ugh, God, I hate Kelly Olynyk.
I'm telling you, I think...
I'd still rather play the Heat than the Pacers, though.
Yep, exactly. Oh, totally. That's what I'm saying. I think Pacers are... I think they could steal a game or two, and they could keep them all close. They're a good team.
Yeah, like...
And they seem to be able to, like, elevate themselves. And unlike John Wall, Victor Oladipo actually this year at least seems like a gamer.
Oh, totally. I mean, I feel like the Cavs. So my fear index for the Eastern Conference is basically Philly number one.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Philly hasn't played anyone good. I know they've won 11
but
straight.
But the big problem with Philly now is Embiid is hurt and. Who knows how long it'll take him to come back. And Ben, with just such a great article last week on Markelle Fultz and how he basically, you know, them playing Markelle Fultz at the end of the season, he whipped his head around into Joel Embiid and cost him Embiid in the first round, which was a fantastic take that pretty much no one else in the league that I've read had. So, but yeah, Philly number one at full strength. Indy 2, Toronto 3, and then it's the, I guess, Boston 4, just from the thug tactics, and then everyone else. I'd put Miami 4, and then everyone else.
And just anybody, because of LeBron's, what, because of LeBron's mental block?
In Miami, yeah. Yeah, and I think Spoelstra's a good coach that, you know, could steal a game or two. Just by out-coaching them.
Well, I actually think James Johnson is probably the best in the Eastern Conference at guarding LeBron.
That's a
I
good
wouldn't
pick.
Argue with that.
So that's the only reason pick. that they don't scare me, but it concerned me maybe a little bit, is that I do think that – that's what they did. They used the sort of gang tactics on LeBron where they used James Johnson as the – you know, the tip of the spear, and then they just had guys swarm him, and you know the other guys just didn't step up; they weren't hitting shots, and so
the other thing is they kind of seem to know LeBron's angles too, that he likes to pass at.
Well, sure,
play the passing lanes really well on him.
Yeah, well, and he's still got a soft spot for Wade, and of course, Wade will probably have at least one vintage Wade game in that series.
Oh no, what he'll do is he'll hit a bunch of threes because he always hits threes against the Cavs.
Yeah, or he'll pump fake his way into like 12 free throw points.
Right.
Yeah. The only saving grace on James Johnson is James Johnson is as good as he is at guarding LeBron, he's also as good at guarding himself.
Yeah.
Because he just seems to take the worst threes against the Cavs.
Although he hit some threes in that last game, the only game the Cavs have lost in this this stretch.
Yeah, but he also shot him out of it at times too. But James in the past, so
yeah. It's weird. It's gonna be an interesting playoffs. I think it doesn't seem like the Raptors will have much trouble with either the Bucks or the Wizards, I don't think.
I don't know. I don't know about that. The Raptors make every playoff series interesting against an inferior opponent.
That's true, and I feel like John Wall's a bad matchup for Lowry. You know, because Lowry's kind of getting...
But he's still John Wall.
Yeah, he's kind of getting to that age where he's not... a guy is going to beat you with athleticism. He's going to beat you with smarts.
I just think Toronto's bench, which has been their strong suit all year, will destroy the Wizards' bench.
Seriously, am I right? Is the only playoff series the Wizards have won in the John Wall era the one where John Wall was hurt and Paul Pierce called game?
That I think it was. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find him to be a massively overrated player. Like EG said, how can you be, was it you or EG? I can't remember. But how can you be that good at going to the rack with no left hand? You know.
That was probably Tom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And
that might have been you, Nate. I mean, I said that he has no left hand, but
well, no, that was you.
I like the way you said it more eloquently.
I was expounding on what you said.
You said it more like a good tweet.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing what Deadspin does and taking kind of a minor point and jazzing it up for the masses.
You're doing what Deadspin does. You'd be like, you'd be doing like a hit piece on like
bait, man.
John Wall's mother or something.
I'm sorry, EG. I can't.
It's
help
whining. It's winding him up.
My coworker was doing that to me all day today, and he was just kept doing it and kept laughing. He's like, "It's just so easy."
Well, you do it to me, so although yeah. Rarely on the podcast, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm sure you'll be doing it to me during the playoffs when Thad Young is going off or not going off.
When Thad Young is joining the ranks of Dick Scott and Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and compiling 7.1, only three players to average 7.1 minutes, 1.2 assists, 3.1 rebounds, 1.8 turnovers.
For the last 13 years.
To shoot below 65% from the free throw line and to make a three a game. rarefied company. While wearing an odd numbered jersey.
So here is a question. I mean, and I guess I kind of feel like we're getting down a rabbit hole a little bit. Does Kyrie Irving, does he return to form next year, A? And B, back in Boston in 2020?
Ooh, I like that second question.
No, juicy. I don't think so.
Juicy, juicy. Juicy fruit. It's gonna move ya.
Or something I guess sweet. It would be, yeah. Right?
In how old is he now? Is he 26 this year?
I think he'll be 27 by then.
Right. Sounds about right.
Yeah. So 27 next year. So and when he's in his 28, Ainge has got to make a decision if he's going to pay him probably the supermax at that point, or trade him, or let him leave in free agency.
Yeah, and the question is when will he even be ready to play next year? Like he's
Kyrie Irving is one of those players. He's one of those guys who's so reliant on his lateral quickness for dribbling, for getting to the rack, for all those things. And the way that he gets injured feels to me like a guy that probably won't play past like age 32, 33.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Or be an all-star past that age. Like he might kick around as like a 3-point specialist towards the end, but that was always the way he plays the game, I had this conversation on the thread today. It's just like he's, you know, the best availability is availability, and the problem is that Kyrie Irving averages about 55, 60 games a year during his career, and you know, the Cavs wouldn't have won in 2016 without Kyrie playing the way he did and hitting the shots that he did, but he had the first 2 months of that season off, right?
Yeah.
And
then when he came back, he was really bad, actually.
Really bad. It took him a while to get up.
Round into form until.
But he was fresh, right? Yeah. He was fresh, and then you could make the same argument that, like, had he been available in 2015, there's a very good chance the Cavs might have pulled that series out.
Absolutely.
So it's difficult to gauge a player like that. That you know, no one wants to hear injury prone, but when you really stop and look at it. he's had some pretty major injuries. He's had a lot of minor ones too, but he's just a guy that seems to get hurt. And that was always what was concerning about him when he was a Cav, was that how many games will we get out of Kyrie this year?
Let's take a very similar comparison. Gilbert Arenas.
Sure.
I mean, not in terms of personality, clearly, because very different personalities, but in terms of game, Gilbert Arenas, like, when he'd had his third major knee surgery and they signed him to that huge deal, I was like, this is a god-awful idea. Why would you ever invest in a guy that clearly can't stay healthy and has had three knee surgeries? And that feels like, to me, what might be happening here with Boston. Now, I don't think Ainge is going to go that direction. I think he'll keep, you know, rolling his draft picks forward until, you know, 2053, you know.
When LeBron's out of his prime.
Yeah, exactly. And how Al Horford's just entering his. But I don't see him. He's too risk averse to roll the dice on Kyrie's knee to me. Like, he would, I could see him, you know, Kyrie getting healthy and then flipping him to the Lakers.
Sure.
Or something like that. I totally see that happening.
Well, he does love the transaction.
He does.
Look, the Lakers super team in a year or two from now could wind up being Paul George, Kyrie, and Kawhi.
And Isaiah Thomas.
Well, sure. He'll be the backup guard, yeah.
Yeah, and then you and I were going back and forth a little bit today, speaking of Kawhi Leonard, you know, should the Cavs trade for Kawhi? And to me, he's another guy like that who, I mean, it's not all the same injury, but he just can't seem to stay healthy. He seems to have a different issue every year, big, long, lingering issue, and coming off as a very kind of a head case this year in the way they're handling his injury, and Spurs clearly
it's hard to say he's a head case simply because he doesn't ever say anything.
Well, yeah.
Like, he's sort of the opposite of Kyrie that way, where Kyrie likes to say ridiculous things because he likes to fool the media or think he's fooling the media, and, you know, and he's an anti-establishment kind of a guy, but he's very vocal and outward about it. Whereas
he's kind of like
Kawhi,
a walking deadspin.
But Kawhi doesn't say a word. And by the way, his uncle, who supposedly is the guy pulling the strings, doesn't say a word either. So we're all sort of left to wonder and scratch our heads and say, well, is he a head case? Is he a bad guy? Are the Spurs just, you know, just being overly dramatic about all of this? Who knows? It's hard to say.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, Kyrie Irving says such off-the-wall stuff that everybody reads into it like a Rorschach, and then Kawhi Leonard says so little that everyone reads into it, like, you know, projects onto it what they think. You know, the big thing now is that, you know, he wants to go to L.A., he wants to get a big contract in the either an extension or a big free agent contract. And it's like, so it's hard to say what's going to happen there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Magic Johnson would trade the Spurs, sleepy eye Johnson and the Cavs number one pick in a heartbeat and probably Randall too for Kawhi.
Probably. Yeah. And I mean, Tom, what would you give up for Kevin Love? Would you give up, you know, Chetty,
Kawhi Leonard,
Larry Nance, and the and the Brooklyn pick for
Kawhi Leonard?
For Kawhi Leonard, yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know what I said.
Oh, that's a lot for a guy who, you know.
I think it has to either be Hill or TT for the salaries to work,
right?
So it's the whoever they take with the Brooklyn pick, because they can't trade it before they make the pick. So whoever they pick with the Brooklyn pick. Jetty, because that's who the Spurs were like salivating after.
Yeah, last I would not include Nance. That's too rich for my blood. But I would do Jetty and the draft pick for him, and maybe I don't know something else to make it.
Well, you'd have to. Yeah, like, you'd have to trade either Hill or TT.
Yeah, they would. They would want George Hill. You know,
of course they would. They had him to begin with, and they need somebody to take over to kind of be the backup to DeJounte Murray now that Tony Parker's probably going to retire and not retire
too.
Yeah, and Patty Mills is probably going to go elsewhere because Patty Mills is a restricted or maybe full free agent this summer.
He'll be unrestricted.
Yeah. So.
I don't know.
Greg Popovich said that George Hill was his favorite player of all time. So
yeah, sure. There you go. I mean,
it would make sense because George Hill makes $20 million next year or 19 or whatever that is, and then you know that would make the money work. So you'd really be giving up whatever you got with the Brooklyn pick and Jetty.
But yeah, I would definitely try. That's a good Cavs type move, a high risk, high reward move.
Yeah,
I like.
Well, it certainly helps you. It helps bolster the troops if LeBron stays, which I think he will. And even if LeBron leaves, you do have, as Nate said before, like a legit core that you can still win games with and compete for at least the East with Kawhi, Kevin Love, Nance.
When Kawhi's healthy, he's a top five NBA player. I mean,
sure. And probably the best two-way player in the NBA when healthy.
Right.
Besides LeBron.
Well,
I don't know. LeBron doesn't try on defense anymore. Maybe LeBron,
LeBron does try on defense, but not until the last 5 minutes of games in the regular season and maybe the last half in the postseason.
Okay. He's the best two-way regular season player out there.
Yeah.
How about that?
In crunch time.
I'll accept it.
Peak LeBron is the greatest defensive player in the NBA. Let's put it that way.
Apex Predator LeBron, yeah.
That's other than Jimmy Butler, because I swear to God, every year I hear Jimmy Butler, probably the best two-way player in the NBA, while he's playing against LeBron, and LeBron is making him look like a JV player.
And it's usually from Hubie Brown.
Yes, it's probably Hubie Brown, yep.
Take this guy we've got right here. He's one of the best two-way players.
I'd like to see a Deadspin breakdown on Hubie Brown.
I would not. I don't think I could read that.
So, Tom, you were wrong about the Wizards. They've actually won first-round series in 3 of the last 4 years. They beat the Bulls 4-1 in 13-14. They beat the Raptors 4-0 in 14-15. And they beat the Hawks 4-2 last year. But each year they lost in the conference semis.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, the Eastern Conference has been really bad for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about Indy. We've talked about some of these other teams in the East. What about Philly? Do you think... So, two-part question here. Does Philly scare you at all? And do you think that if the Cavs end up with a 3 seed, which... You know, the game tomorrow pretty much is one of the big arbiters of that. Does Philly beat Toronto in the second round?
No.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, I feel like Philly is a really tough matchup.
I bet it'll go 7 games, though, you know, in typical Raptors fashion.
Okay, yeah. That's a good take. I like that.
The regular season is the regular season, and the playoffs are the playoffs. And the Raptors have been to the Eastern Conference Finals and played good games and have typically won a lot in the playoffs. And they're for the most part, battle-tested. They have a couple of guys like Van Vliet and Anunoby who are still new to that. But... The point of it is the Sixers don't have that. They have a few guys that know it, but they're mostly guys on the fringe, like the Bellinellis and the who's the other guy they got the other Euro Yeah, Ilyasova.
I got a name right on the first time.
You did.
Yeah, that's awesome, mate. Way to go.
Like, other than J.J. Redick, though, they don't have, like, a like that kind of that starting core piece that, has even been to the playoffs.
Oh,
so that's,
I actually
that's why like I don't put a lot of stock in. This is their first run. This is early for them to be even this good. I don't know. I think guys like Covington are not going to hit shots in clutch because he sometimes has, you know, a hard time. He's a very streaky shooter. I think, you know, Embiid has got the double thing of like coming back from a decent injury here and then having it be his first playoff series. You know, I think it's going to be tough for them. And yeah, I think they'll even have a tough first round, really.
Well, especially if it's against Indy.
Indiana. Yeah, I would at this point I would probably pick Indiana over to beat Philadelphia in the first round.
Well, cuz the interesting thing about Indiana is, you know, they're young, but a lot of those guys do have playoff experience. You know, you got Thaddeus Young, you got Evan Turner, who's been in the playoffs the previous. What'd you say?
Oladipo too.
Oladipo,
Ear Whisperer.
Yeah, the ear whisperer. I forgot about the ear whisperer.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
he's been good off the bench for them this year,
and he's talk about a Cavs killer. That guy just seems to relish playing the Cavs.
Well, especially he relishes playing LeBron because any chance he's got to. I mean, they could never beat him, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's another irrational confidence guy that you were kind of talking about earlier.
But Bogdanovich, like tonight against the Warriors, like they kind of blew the Warriors out tonight, and they beat them by 20.
Yeah, but and the Warriors are also resting almost everyone.
No, they everybody but Steph was playing tonight.
Really interesting.
Yeah, they had Durant, they had Green, they had Clay, and they all played 30 minutes.
Interesting. So the other thing
about got blown out in the third quarter.
I love that the great part of that Bogdanovich move is that last year Washington gave up a first round pick to get Bogdanovich from I believe it was the Knicks or the Nets.
Yeah.
And then he was a restricted free agent, and Indy signed him to an offer sheet. And because the offer on Otto Porter was so huge, they had to basically let Bogdanovich walk. So they kind of threw away a first round pick on the guy, basically. And it's like, and that, you know, case in point of why the Wizards have been so terrible because
typical Wizards.
Yeah, typical Wizards. So, yeah, and what a great pickup by Indy. I mean, if you can
He was 6-7 from three tonight.
Oh yeah, and both the Bogdanovich brothers are good. So, yeah, Bojan and Bogdan.
It's too many bees.
Yeah, that's a lot of bees. It's killer bees. But yeah, so.
But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they knocked off Philly in because that'll be both 4 or 5 matchups this year are gonna be pretty crazy and close.
Yeah, my only thing is I kind of feel like Philly's going to get more cred from the refs, and just because it's a better story for the NBA.
Maybe.
So.
Maybe, but, you know, they don't have that crazy scorer like Oladipo who can just go off.
Yeah. So who, you know, fear index out west? I mean, they're really, I think we're all only worried about two teams, right?
I don't know.
Do you
about
see
that.
Anyone besides Philly or besides Houston or Golden State coming out of the West?
No.
No.
Yeah, so it's a two-team list.
Oh, I thought you just meant, like, if any team, if the Cavs found themselves in the finals against any of those teams, would you be afraid of any of them? But I guess you're...
Yeah. I mean, I would be afraid.
I think the answer's still the same. I think I'd only be afraid of those two teams.
I'd be a little bit nervous to play probably...
OKC.
Don't say OKC. With Carmelo.
They're a team built for the playoffs. I don't. Yeah.
Carmelo's garbage, dude. Did you even see him play this year?
Yes, he hasn't been good, but I mean.
And their defense has been terrible since Roberson went down.
Yeah.
Is he out for the rest of the year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he blew.
Was he, Was he the wait? Who's the guy that fell on his back and had to be like lifted off on a stretcher?
No, that's the Golden State guy, McCaw.
Yeah,
Patrick yeah. What happened to him?
He's okay. He's going to be okay. They haven't said when he's going to be back, but
they say he's not. He's going to be reevaluated in like 4 weeks. So that, yeah. Which means he's not coming back for the playoffs. I don't think.
Probably not, but I think he's going to be okay long term.
That's good.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, yeah. that was pretty brutal. But yeah, who's your number one on your fear index there, EG? Is it Houston or Golden State?
It's still Golden State. Houston doesn't worry me because those guys fold in the playoffs anyways.
Interesting. Tom?
Yeah.
And Chris Paul can't stay healthy.
I still wouldn't favor the Cavs against Houston, but I'm definitely, you know, I think Golden State has their ceiling, I think, is just still definitely higher than Houston or anyone.
I'm going to go with Houston just because I feel like Golden State, it's a bit of a down year for them. And I have this feeling that it's Houston's year, at least to get to the finals. And then I don't think any of those guys have played LeBron in the finals. And I feel like the Cavs have possibly a better shot against Houston.
For sure.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Houston just because I think they're the healthier team. And I feel like Golden State's a lot more banged up than everybody realizes, top to bottom. So
it all depends on Steph. If Steph comes back and can play even at 80% of what he's played at, I don't see how Houston beats them in a series.
Yep, likewise.
Well, I'm going to disagree. So I'm picking.
I mean, they would have home court advantage, and they are a really good team. I mean, even against a healthy Golden State, I think they're the best team in 2 years. You know, that wasn't a Golden State team.
Yeah. Well, and then you know, kind of more to.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Actually, the Cavs last year might have been playoff. Cavs last year might have been better. Playoff Cavs last year were ridiculously good.
Yeah, I still think the Rockets could lose to the winner of the current 4-5, the Jazz or the Spurs.
I have a tough time seeing them losing to either of those teams. I mean, the Jazz, they don't think they can score enough. I mean, the Rockets are going to put up like 120 points. Jazz are a good team, but I don't know. I don't think they can hang with the Rockets' high octane offense.
Yeah, and I don't think they can slow it down enough.
The Spurs, they don't have.
You don't think they can slow it down in half court playoff style games?
Not
against two playoff chokers like James Harden and Chris Paul.
Yeah, although the other thing,
I'm gonna tell you something. If Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza and Joe Johnson aren't hitting threes, it's gonna be a really tough series.
Well, Joe Johnson's generally, you know, has his moments in the playoffs. I don't know that I can really say Chris Paul is a playoff choker. I think
he always gets hurt.
Oh, I've watched it. I had front row seats to when he choked against the Spurs that year in the first round.
Didn't they also beat the Spurs 1 year?
Yeah, and then lost in the next round.
Yeah, but they still beat.
I mean, and that's the interesting question. Are this year's Rockets basically the Clippers of the past who everybody thought was going to get in the finals? And then
The Clippers never won like 67 games or whatever the Rockets are about to do.
No, I'll agree with you there. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the Rockets are going to get there. They'll get over the hump to me. I think they got enough depth. But
I've definitely seen.
I hope they get there. I hope they get there, because I think mentally the Cavs will have a better shot, at least. I'm not saying the Cavs would beat them, but I think they'd have a good shot.
Well, the other thing is I don't think none of those guys have ever played LeBron in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know,
I'm sure there's one or two somewhere on that roster that has, because there's a lot of guys on that roster, but yeah.
Well, we know Joe Johnson has.
And right? We know Ryan Anderson has.
Right.
Ryan Anderson has.
Yeah, the brutal your 09 team.
No, he wasn't around then.
He was.
No way he was around then. No way.
I swear to God, we got to look.
He's 29, dude.
I mean, it was that type of player, but he was on it.
Ryan Anderson. We got to look up Ryan Anderson on the old basketball reference.
I got him right here.
On that team.
No, he's 29 years old, dude.
Dude, Nate, you
he was drafted in the 2008 by New Jersey.
Nate, like my brain is essentially a working simulation of that series. You don't think I would remember this?
Okay, you are correct. He was 2009. He was in New Jersey. 2010. He was in Orlando. So I was wrong. My
that's okay. You're forgiven. Well, no. LeBron played against James Harden in the finals when he played for OKC.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know what I could not believe? Did you know that the Thunder were favored in that series by Vegas?
Were they really?
Yes. I could not even believe that, but it was true. But, you know, I guess coming off of the choke job against the Mavericks.
Yeah, that's
true. And the Thunder did have a pretty nice regular season that year. I think those two things combined to somehow convince gamblers that the Thunder should be favored, which in retrospect seems, you know, ridiculous, but.
Yeah. Oh, here's a question. How much money do you think gamblers are making off the tankathon right now?
Oh, I saw somebody put in the, on the thread, not today, but yesterday, about how the Mavericks, of course, after winning a game, had to throw one against the Magic just to make sure they didn't tie the Nets. And I just wrote in all caps, collusion! And then I attributed it as a quote and said, Nate Smith, probably.
Yeah, I saw that, jerk. Well, we're getting a little long in the tooth here, so I feel like we got to start wrapping it up. So, you know, where do the Cavs finish regular season, Tom?
You know, after tonight's game, I think they're gonna go like 2-1 the rest of the way. They might drop tomorrow to Philly, or 3-1, or whatever. How many games they have left? But I almost kind of think they're gonna hold on to the 3 spot.
Okay, so you think they're holding on to the 3 spot. What about you, EG?
Oh, I think for sure. I think they make a statement tomorrow against Philly. I think this comeback energized them, and I think they know if they win this game against Philly, there's no way that either Philly or Indy can catch them for the third seed, even if they intentionally lost both games against the Knicks, which they should lose at least one so they can drop. They can stay ahead of the Nets, because the Nets might very well win out with the cream puff schedule they got left to play.
Yeah,
so.
And if you think the Bulls are winning either of those games against the Nets, I will bet you $100.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Nets win out, because I think their last game's against like Toronto, and Toronto will have nothing to play for, so they'll be resting everyone.
They could conceivably be 10th, right?
Yeah, yeah, they could be, because they'd pass both the Knicks and the Bulls.
I'm going to write a very sternly worded email to David Silver, or Adam Silver.
As long as the Cavs can still get McCall
to Dick Scott.
Nick, I called you Nick. Nate, you might need to stick to last names.
The Jeopardy rule, only answer with the last name.
Yeah. Hey, look, as long as Mikal Bridges is still available at 10, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Well, you know my take. Cavs are in and up in the top 3 regardless.
Well, just because of Nick of
because they're the Cavs.
Nick Gilbert magic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I guess pie in the sky, my friend.
It could be, but stranger things have happened. I just want to see Bill Simmons' head explode again.
That's all I really want.
I thought it might have today, but I think he was wandering around Augusta somewhere and didn't see the Kyrie news.
Yeah.
Speaking of Augusta, did you see what happened to Sergio Garcia today?
No.
Tin cup.
But, well, I felt bad because, I mean, I swear every single one of those shots was an amazing shot.
Yeah.
That's that's a brutal hole.
Fell in the water.
My gosh.
Yeah.
It's like, he's hitting these soft little sand wedges like 2 feet above the pin, and then it has some backspin on it and starts to roll back, and it just never stops. Five times in a row.
I've been there. I usually give up after the third one.
I've been there too.
Yeah, I used to play a lot, but I haven't been lately.
I had my elbow done about 3-4 years ago. I haven't done it.
Dude, so. You're falling apart. Yeah, didn't you have the knee thing today,
you
too?
You have, like, wires in your knee right now?
No, I don't have wires in my knee. I just got to make sure my knee's good so I can go back to schooling eighth graders at the gym. So I got to tell you a funny story. So, like, one of my funniest moments... It was like I had been playing ball a lot, and so I go up to Alaska to hang with my boys, and this is probably about 10 years ago, and I was playing a lot and wasn't having a very good game, and my buddy Luke goes, Nate, I thought you said you'd been playing with D1 players. And I was like, yeah, I did. I didn't say they were men. So yeah, I have sensitive knees. Let's put it that way. So
delicate.
The air travel did not agree. I've hurt every joint on the right side of my body, and today it's my left knee. So we'll see how that goes. I may have to retire. I may have to retire and live vicariously through my kids.
Wait, so Nate, what do you think is going to happen with the Cavs?
I think they'll win tomorrow. I think that part of tonight was they were looking past the Wizards a little bit. And Jose Calderon, to me, totally didn't play because he's going to play tomorrow. Yeah.
Right.
And then hopefully George Hill plays tomorrow. And then.
Do you think, or do you think they hold Hill out until the playoffs?
What's the injury?
It's a sprain.
Sprained ankle.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't say what grade it was.
They will hold him out.
Yeah. I mean, why get him injured again before the playoffs, especially when Jose is doing a decent job?
Yeah, I bet they're better than decent. Out just because it looked like it did not look like a pleasant ankle injury when it happened. So,
yeah. But so they'll get to 50 wins, maybe 51 or two. Yeah,
if they win out, 50. They could actually beat last season's win total. So,
how many did they win 51 last year?
I think they won 50.
Hang on. I got it right.
Check
here.
With Dick Scott. He knows.
Dick Scott. Here we go. History. 49. No, that's this year. 51 now, last year.
Yeah, okay. So they could beat last year's win total.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, I think
this is the first time a LeBron team will be lower than a top two seed since 2007 or 2008.
Yeah. So, and then my pick is Cavs over Rockets in the
Rockets.
Finals. Yep.
How many games?
6 games.
Interesting.
So there you go.
They do it on the home court.
That's right. That's right. So anything you guys want to pitch? Any parting shots? Anything like that, Tom?
No, I'm good.
You can't pitch Babylon Berlin for the third week in a row.
Yeah.
Tom is deep in Rocket League thrall.
I had a good story. I took a train, which I highly recommend if you can take a train anywhere.
Oh, yeah, I love train trips.
I took a train from where I live, which is way far west of Los Angeles, all the way to Anaheim to watch the Tribe play at the rubber match game.
How many innings was it?
It was 13, and I was there. Kluber was pitching a great game. He had a no-hitter going into the fifth, and then, of course, the weak sauce Angels shortstop bunted to get on. And then, like, a batter later, Kluber seemed a little bit shaken by it, gives up the home run to Ohtani to tie it. And then it goes all the way to the 13th inning, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, I'm going to have to leave, because I had great seats, too. I'm going to have to leave to catch my train home, because this is the last train that goes all the way back to where I'm going from. And I'm gonna at least stick and see if the tribe can score in their half of the 13th. And they, of course they didn't. So I got up, I left, and I'm walking out of the stadium, and the train platform's just sort of just beyond the stadium parking lot. And of course I hear the fireworks go off, and yeah. I look at my watch, and the, you know, and the MLB app is like, oh yeah, Adam Cozart hits a solo home run to beat the Indians 3-2 in 13 innings. I'm like, I'm not superstitious, but I felt a little guilty for, like, I should have just missed my train. Maybe they would have won the game. So, wait,
but what is your recourse if you miss that train?
I just take an Uber home, or, you know, stay there, just get a hotel, stay the night, and take the next train home in the morning.
Yeah, that's true.
But I didn't have the fortitude to do it, and I thought, it's early enough in the season, they'll come back.
Yeah, well, it's going to be... hopefully they can kind of rebound. How'd they do? Did they play tonight?
No, it was travel day today. Okay. So they have the Cleveland home opener tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Weather permitting, you'd know more about the weather. Oh, if it's going to be good or not.
Cold. Oh my gosh. Well,
it's been 30s. I mean, there was snow on the ground today, so.
Eesh. Yeah.
In fact, we had Kansas a big City. Ice storm down in Canton area. Bunch of accidents.
We had tornadoes yesterday.
Tornadoes? Really?
Yeah, it went from snow to 70 degrees to tornadoes and thunderstorms back to snow in 24 hours.
We were a day offset from you.
I've never actually seen anything like that before.
We had an earthquake today.
Oh, yeah?
5.3. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll feel that.
I didn't, though. It was weird. Really? Like, where I live, yeah, like, it was, like, right around my wife felt it at work, and my son felt it at school, but I didn't feel it.
Huh.
Strange.
And this has been Weather and Seismic Activity. Cast the ball. So, hey. I don't really have anything to shout out. I've been watching some terrible Netflix. I got on this terrible sci-fi kick on Netflix, and I watched this awful movie called The Titan about, who's the guy from Dances with Smurfs?
What?
From,
what?
Kevin Costner? Smurfs.
No. The Avatar. Who's the guy from Avatar?
Oh. Sam Worthington.
Yeah, Sam Worthington is, goes to Titan and gets genetically modified. It's awful. But then I watched, I've been watching Into the Badlands, which is awful, but very entertaining.
Oh, it's highly watchable, but you're right. The story makes no sense.
And the acting is at times
atrocious.
Yeah. But the action sequences and the fight sequences are really well done, which makes
Doesn't it feel like vaguely racist with the plantations and stuff like that?
Oh, I don't think vaguely at times.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the main character is really good. It is like a total Asian stereotype, really good at kung fu and
swords and stuff.
Emoting, but yeah. It's so, but it's very entertaining. I was watching with my 14-year-old, which I probably shouldn't have been because it's pretty gory, but I was like, yeah, this is basically just like a post-apocalyptic, you know, white male fantasy of this plantation owner with all these slaves farming poppies for him and like five wives. So
yeah, exactly.
But it was still entertaining. So
very colorful.
Yeah, it's very colorful. The color palette's very well done. The credit sequence is fantastic too. So,
yeah,
if you're just looking for some popcorn that you can veg on, I recommend it. Two seasons on Netflix. So
nice.
What about you, EG? Anything you want to pitch?
Nah, not really. That's pretty much just my week. I went to my tribe game of the year because they only come out to Anaheim once. So unless I make it back to Cleveland, which I very well might over the summer, I'll probably be the only time I see the tribe live this year.
Okay. Oh, guys, guess what?
Hmm.
The Brownsmobile isn't dead.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it still in your dad's custody?
Yeah, that was fake news by me last time. I apologize.
Thank Tom with his inner dead spin last time.
Yeah, pretty much. Fake news. Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, good to know. So if Easy comes and we all hit a tribe game, you got
to... Yeah, I might come back.
You got to take us in the Brownsmobile.
That'd be a reason to come back and catch a tribe game.
Yeah. You should sandwich it, like, come on a weekend where you can catch the Browns and the tribe.
Well, like, late in the year?
Yeah.
All right. I'll see. Well, it might be easy because my... my son goes off to college now, so in August.
Where's he going?
To Washington State. It's going to be a Cougar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma is a Cougar.
Yeah. No. He really wants to get into sports management. So he's like, if anyone's going to bring back the Sonics, Dad, I'm going to do it.
Oh, nice.
Good for him.
Okay. Go do it, man. Then you'll make Nate happy. Yeah.
Thanks for an awesome podcast, guys, and end of the regular season coming up, and do the playoffs start next weekend?
Yeah, exciting.
It is exciting, and as always,
it's been a weird long road.
It has.
It's been a really weird season. It feels like three seasons rolled into one, doesn't it?
It really is.
And at least, yeah.
Can you believe we started this season with Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade?
No, I can't. And Isaiah Thomas.
And people legitimately thinking that Derrick Rose could be a piece.
Is he still playing for Minnesota or is he done?
Well, either way, the answer is yes.
They're playing right now. Is he playing?
Seen him. I haven't seen him out there, but I haven't been
watching. Yeah, he played. He was plus 11. 2 of 5 in 15 minutes for 4 points. How about that?
There you go.
Derek Rose.
It's amazing what actual coaching can do.
Or not.
Yeah.
Well, they're still going to probably lose to the Nuggets.
There you go. As always, go Cavs.
Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire. We're out.